Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right. We're into Romans chapter 6, and we will pick up at verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Page 2 of your notes. All right, let's take the customary time, as is our approach at Maranatha Church, to remind believers of the all importance of being under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit during the presentation of the information at hand. The information at hand this evening will not be particularly easy, perhaps, for some to appreciate, but we're going to tackle it anyway. So let's take the usual time to get ourselves in the right frame of mind. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we're under the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge and do so in the assembly of positive volition. We thank you that you provide for us everything we need in order to be here, to be able to make this happen. Bless our time together in the information communicated. In Christ's name, amen. All right. The lead into this chapter started with informing believers that they are not, that's the implication, that they are not to take this principle of where grace abounds, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. This, however, is true. All the massive amount of sin in human history, grace is greater than that for those who take advantage of the salvation and rebound adjustments to God. That's why grace abounds in the face of the tremendous amount of sinful behavior. Grace abounds. It is not diminished, negated in any way. If people don't benefit themselves from it, it is because they do not receive the gift of God's grace. And it is a gift. And God doesn't take it lightly when people reject that gift, because it involves an attitude towards His Son, whom He's most impressed with. And has exalted him and put him in a position over every name that is named. And this will be overtly manifested in the coming of Christ to the human race and the history forward. All right, verse 3 and following. We're going to deal with positional sanctification, which is union with Jesus Christ. This should not be a difficult concept to comprehend. But we're going to deal with it in two aspects, and we'll have abbreviation for each of them. We have current positional truth, CPT, and we have retroactive positional truth, RAPT. And so, to the exegesis, writing to the Romans, or do you not know? Or, do you not know? Present active indicative, agnoeo, means to be ignorant. That all of us who are baptized into Christ, baptized, the individual believers receive the action of the verb, aorist passive indicative, first plural. We who have been baptized into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into His death. It's a question. Do you not understand this? Continued. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death. Therefore, we have been buried together. That's one word. It's an aorist passive indicative, and it is referencing the same thing as in the preceding verse where we have the aorist passive indicative, first plural, of baptizo twice. In this verse, buried and baptism refer to the same thing. Soon, that's with, thaptomai, be buried together with. Therefore, we have been buried together with him through baptism. Through the baptism, with the article, baptisma, into death, into thanatos, death. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that, conjunction, two conjunctions, so that as Christ was raised, Christ, referring to his humanity, receives the action of the verb, that's the passive voice in the indicative, egairo, to raise, from ek, the dead, the realm of the dead. The dead is a gendered masculine plural adjective, referring to the realm of the dead, those historically at that time would be classified as those historically the dead. Through the glory of the Father, dia, through the glory, where glory, the article, is a reference to the power of God that was exerted towards his humanity at the point of his resurrection. Now, what we might not expect, but we get here, is we expect, but we'll get it in the next verse, we expect that this means that since we're baptized into Christ, in union with Christ, we'll also overcome death, physical death, and share in his resurrection. That comes up in a minute. But this here, next, but this here refers to phase two. So we, too, or also, might walk. Notice this. Aorist active subjunctive. The subjunctive is the mode of potentiality. We might, or we might not. We might walk. Walk is used here, aorist active and subjunctive, that we might walk, peripateo, that's the subjunctive, in newness, that's a noun, in kainotes, newness of life. The Christian way of life is a supernatural and a new way of life, which involves that the believer becomes apprised of what is necessary to function in newness of life. Now we get to the resurrection thing. See, union with Christ is, again, we share what he accomplished. So it's a spiritual union that we have with him, and it guarantees us certain things. Now, it doesn't guarantee us that we will walk in newness of life. That takes positive volition and application of Bible doctrine to walk in a new life and approach things in a new dynamic way. For if we have become united, first class condition, the word united with is actually an adjective, sum futos, with the perfect active indicative, perfect existing results, become united with him in the likeness, definite article, homoi oma, in the likeness of his death. Certainly, this is simply the conjunction Allah, but certainly, also, because it has also, but also we shall be, also be, future indicative, indicative's reality, it's going to happen for believers, also of his resurrection, in the likeness. See, they've added the word here, likeness, because it is implied, but it's not in the Greek, but that's the idea. In the likeness of his resurrection, anatasis, knowing this, something you need to know, that our old self, We have a new synonym in this section for the STA. Our old self. Old is an adjective with an article, plios, and then with the pronoun our former or our old self. The word self is actually anthropos, man. Our old man, self's all right, was crucified with him. Aorist passive indicative, sus to roomai. This is a word that's a compound from crucify to be crucified with. In order that, another upshot of this, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Yea, of course. That our body of sin might be done away with. Do away with, aorist passive subjunctive. Kat ar geo. It means to do away with something. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin. So that we would no longer be slaves, enslaved, duleo, present infinitive, that we would no longer be slaves to the sin nature. Definite article again. For he who has died is free from sin. For he who has died, aorist active participle, apothetesco, is set free, perfect passive indicative, dekai'a'o, set free from the sin nature. It's got the article again. Now, I told you this wasn't easy. Some of it is pretty easy. Some of it is not. So just hang in there with it. Don't fall asleep on me. One, the subject of these verses is positional sanctification, or union with Christ, as we call it, via the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At the point of salvation, for church-age believers, we are all incorporated into Christ. In Christ is positional sanctification, and it is stated as such in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It tells you the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, the role of the Holy Spirit in salvation is, one, to reveal the gospel to a person, make it clear to a person, as he does doctrine to people in general. Secondly, he is involved in the process of what is called regeneration or the new birth. That's his hands-on function in the Godhead. And then also, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. He says, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, station in life, racial characteristics don't affect this. And we are all made to drink of one Spirit. We've got eternal life in us. We've drank of eternal life, as Jesus taught the woman at the well. The water I have to give you, you drink it and you'll never thirst again. So, Paul proceeds to explain that what died to sin means from verse 2. Of course, union with Christ occurs at the moment of phase 1 salvation. Galatians also as well. Galatians 3. And verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we are children of God, sons of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing more is required. We are one of God's children. Has great implications. He's our spiritual, heavenly parent. For all of us who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. New clothing for the soul. You got to learn spiritually how to dress right. I'm not talking about physically, although that can be improved in people. Know how to present yourself and dress right for whatever the occasion is. Whether it's casual, work, or dress up. You know how to do that. So spiritually, you need to know how to dress right. That's another analogy. To put on Christ is to have Bible doctrine in the soul and have that be. See, we're told in the Bible to put off the old and put on the new. Positional sanctification, because it's a part, it's a salvation thing, is irrevocable. And does not depend on the good or bad behavior of a believer after salvation, Romans 8, 35 and following. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, warfare, crime? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. The angelic conflict is against us. And Satan is actively trying to figure out ways to kill us off. And he's got people that are willing to do it. But then, of course, God is our protection. And occasionally, believers are martyred. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. By who? The dark side. But in this, but in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, physical death, nor life, anything in this life, some technology, let's say, nor angels, bad angels, nor principalities, or things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we cannot be separated from the plan. We're locked in. We can't even do anything incredibly stupid to mess up our salvation. That's intact. So, union with Christ means to share his victory over sin and death. Now, as this relates to salvation adjustment, phase two, and then the afterlife. The aspect of positional sanctification the Romans were apparently unfamiliar with was retroactive positional truth or sanctification. I guess everyone knows what sanctification means. It means set apart from the ordinary. Christ's spiritual death remove the sin debt against us. Jesus' physical death, point eight, and subsequent resurrection guarantees our victory over physical death. So while it sounds like a bad thing to be identified with his death, it is not, because the outcome of his death was it was overruled and he was raised from the dead. We refer to believers who have passed from the scene before us, the dead in Christ. They're still in Christ, and their bodies are waiting the rapture event. And they will get a resurrection body identical to his. 9, therefore draws a consequence from verse 3. The sequence of thought is that if we share in his deaths, so must we also have been buried with him. Okay? Like I said, it takes a little bit to get your head around it and have capacity for this. I mean, I can talk about the different things we share that Christ has, like his royalty. We're a royal family. Never before were all believers on earth royalty. Royalty was confined to certain categories. But he's royalty. He's a king. From two sources, deity and his link to David in the line of kings coming down the line. Just because he didn't function as a king on earth, he obviously has this destiny to rule as a king over this coming kingdom. Anyway, Christ's history and experience in the Passion becomes ours. 12, not that we endure his identical sufferings, but that we partake of the benefits 13. Identification with Jesus' deaths infers identification with his physical death and his physical burial. Jesus' burial, that part of his, is part of the gospel proclamation. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's a part of the gospel because it's a historical sequence of events where Jesus was crucified, suffered, died for the sins of the world, and subsequently died physically. But of course, that wasn't the end of it. 3 days later, his body is triumphantly and powerfully raised up from the dead, never to experience death of any kind or any of that sort of thing ever again. Jesus' burial is part of the gospel presentation, Romans 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you were saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Now again, this could be taken, and it would be, by people, that you can lose your salvation. This is nonsense. He's wanting believers to stand firm in the truth, starting with the salvation adjustment. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And again, this death does not refer to his physical death. His physical death means he came to the end of the incarnation, the kenosis phase, and that was going to be in the past. A believer's life ends when a believer dies. Their phase two is over. For him, it was his time on earth under all the things he experienced up to the very end. And he died in accordance with Scripture physically. He died because his work on earth was finished. So we can shift into a new phase, and that is the glorification phase, which came 3 days later on Sunday morning. The other was in Friday, occurred on Friday. So, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he goes on and said, after that fact, he made post-resurrection appearances to believers. Never knew when it was going to happen, but he appeared to believers individually, collectively, over a 40-day span. And that ended. Because they had to be reassured. They had to be built up and confident that he really was resurrected. Okay. The circumstances of his burial were proof that he actually died. The witnesses seeing him die on the cross, the spear in his side, the wrapping him and placing him in this tomb, and the huge, perfectly cut round stone that was rolled into the opening fit like a glove. And the Roman guard standing out there, that there'd be no funny business of anyone coming along and stealing his body. Perfect. Perfect. So that when his resurrection occurred, they couldn't say that. These soldiers, they were put in a bad situation. But it worked perfectly for good. They were afraid that they'd failed because when they saw this and the angel and everything, they all passed out. And these aren't men that are easily intimidated by anything. But this angel scared them to a point of passing out. And so when they woke up, they weren't hurt. When they woke up, they ran to the Jewish authorities and said, what happened? And they said, we'll cover for you, these people. Our sins were judged in his body. And so we, in that sense, were identified with him in that death. His first death on the cross. The two deaths of Christ. Baptism into his burial means that the last enemy, physical death, is conquered for all who are in him. They all, and that of course occurs at the rapture, will get a resurrection body. The verb buried refers to union with Christ and is identical to the word baptized. Buried with him. So buried is the term used to describe retroactive positional truth or sanctification. The term is also found in Colossians 2:12, where we'll read, this is another one of those long sentences. It begins in verse 8 and runs all the way to 12. He's telling the Colossians, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him, there's your positional truth, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. He's the king of history and conducts and moves history forward. It may not appear to people that that's the case, but everything that's happening and occurring, whether it's permissive will, overruling will, and all of it, it's all being moved. The rise and fall of nations, all the stuff that's going on, all that's been taken into consideration. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. See, this is the thing. Trying to work through all of Paul's theology is not easy at times. This is a spiritual circumcision, which I discussed earlier in Romans. And another way to refer to the isolation of the STA, where the foreskin represents the STA. Made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, rulership of the STA, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, because we couldn't produce anything like plus R. I added that. I'm just making comment. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Okay. Raised is used of current positional truth. 23. Jesus' physical death was overturned, again, when he was raised from the dead. Verse 4b. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. 24. Jesus entered into a new and perpetual state. His humanity was glorified. Subsequently, he ascended to the Father, where he has remained at the right hand in his humanity ever since, that all in union with him share, indicating that our future, what happened to him, will be also our future. Through the glory of the Father refers to the divine power that raised Jesus from the dead. Luke 9, a couple of few verses here. Luke 9, 26. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. And the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. John 10:30, that's more to the point. John 10:30. I and the Father are one. They share the same divine attributes. When he says, I and the Father are one, he means that they have the identical divine attributes. And 17, John 17:22. the glory which you have given me. He's praying here before his resurrection, before the cross. He's praying for the future. The glory which you have given me, I have also given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. Okay. In verse 4c, Paul presents an implication derived from union with Christ. This implication has to do with phase two. Newness of life. The Christian way of life is a new life. It is run on different principles. It refers to the Christian way of life lived under the filling of the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship, and resident Bible doctrine in the soul. That's newness of life. It requires, for the individual believer, if at all possible, you need to be in Bible class. Once you get maladjusted to that and lackadaisical or distracted by things, whether it's your job or any other interest, you're going to start deteriorating. You can use analogies to taking care of your health. You eat right, get the right kind of exercise, then you're going to have a better chance of having physical health. You cannot, do not let anybody convince you in any way that you can flourish spiritually by abandoning your right pastor, face-to-face teaching in time. I couldn't if I left you for another church or whatever. So I am as bound as you're bound to the principle. To the principle of right pastor, right congregation. You can read all about it in John chapter 10. This assignment is made by God. Of course, your volition was involved. You came here at some point in your history and identified with this, if you did, and recognized this as where you needed to be. And you can't go running off, neglecting the imperative of assembly, as the habit of some around here has been and is. You cannot afford to do that. Now, obviously, when you're here, you have to be engaged with the information. You have to be open-minded, listening carefully. If you've stumbled over some doctrine like the flat earth and you're spinning around on it, you need to reconsider it. You need to go back over it and pray and look at the information. It makes perfect sense. So for those, whatever their reasons are for not being here, they're deteriorating spiritually. And it's sad to watch, but it's just what happens. You can't afford to do this. I've seen it happen with pastors while they were pastors. I've seen it happen with believers, of course, over and over again. They lost track of the basics somewhere along the line. Anyway, newness of life. So, refers to the Christian way of life, lived under the filling of the Holy Spirit, being in fellowship, and Bible doctrine. The two go hand in hand. People can get out there and say, I rebound, I do this. Yeah, well, you have to have the right doctrine in your soul and live under it. Not perfectly, but you have to live under it, agree to it, accept it. We allow people time to figure things out. I've seen believers, well, I've noticed that this person isn't as consistent as they once were. That's a danger. And then it gets worse. And then they're gone, and away we go. They once believed this, and now they don't. That was important. RAPT calls for a life ruled by the Holy Spirit rather than the previous life lived under the rulership of the STA, and not just sin, but a whole bunch of human viewpoint. Human viewpoint. There's a lot of human viewpoint in churches, Christian churches, evangelical or fundamentalist churches. There's a lot of human viewpoint. The setup is this. You come to your spiritual shepherd. He is to study and communicate to you and your family Bible doctrine. The only exceptions are that we have and have historically maintained an environment for the little ones. I don't want them sitting in here fiddling their thumbs and I'm trying to talk about retroactive positional truth. They have it broke down for them historically by teachers, these doctrines at their level back there. But when they get to a certain age, I guess it's 13, they come in here. We don't have separate ministries to pander to separate situations. You're a recovering addict. You're a single mom. You're a teenager. We have a women's class. An adult woman teaching other adult women. Where's that? Where do you find any of that in the Bible? The only thing you have in the Bible is parents teaching their kids. You have older married women helping younger married women, not in a class environment, but helping them to deal with marriage, child raising. That's in Paul's epistles. But he doesn't divide the royal family up and they run off to the teen class and they run off to this class. This just is asking for trouble. The pastor teacher is to be the one through whom the information comes, and I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your personal experience is, divorcee, coming out of whatever you came out of. These people came under the teachers, and they brought them up spiritually, and you'll do just fine. I don't have to tailor make this. This class tonight is for people who have a drinking problem. What a joke. You got a drinking problem, you know what you're supposed to do about it. Right? You don't have to be patted on the head, pandered to, and separated. All this is out there. I've seen it. I don't pursue it. It's just junk. It's not that they don't say some things that are true. But who assigned this woman the responsibility to have a ministry to a widespread women out here over the net with her own little devotionals? Who's her pastor teacher? See, these kind of people are unteachable. They will not sit under authority. That's one of the breakdowns in all of this mess that's out there in fundamentalism today. The three-ring circus. Even in the better churches that have more doctrinal content, it isn't good enough. And it isn't following the plan in the Bible. No wonder the church is in the condition it's in the last days. At the end, there's no anything in Scripture that would indicate that the general body of Christ on earth is healthy. It isn't. It's lukewarm. They won't endure sound doctrine. And these pastors, you might hear one speak on a topic, couldn't fault it with anything. But what's missing? That's a big issue. Verse by verse. That's the key. That's what we were raised up on here. And doctrine by doctrine. But they want this other stuff. And this tendency to want to fragment the whole organization into these separate things. We don't do that. You know, if I was Bob Thieme, I'd say, if you don't like it, hit the door. But I don't say that. I don't want you hitting the door. I want you staying and listening. But believers that have gotten away from this have absolutely lost it in so many ways, and it's happened real fast with some of them. You cannot neglect this and expect to flourish spiritually. You just can't. It isn't going to happen. Retroactive positional truth calls for a life ruled by the Holy Spirit rather than the previous life ruled under the STA. Might walk is an aorist subjunctive, recognizing that maybe it will, Maybe we will, or maybe we won't. Well, most won't. In verse 5, we have the relationship of retroactive positional truth to current positional truth. And if your brain got smoked a little bit this evening, I didn't try to, but we'll pick up here tomorrow night. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.